The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Welcome, everybody, to Wrestling to the Max Raw Review for Monday, April 17th, 2017. And, of course, we are brought to you by W2Mnet.com. That's right, the place where you go find all your wrestling content, plus tons of great wrestling podcasts, including this one. Don't forget also to go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max if you haven't already. And also go rate and review. That just gets the word out about us and, of course, helps us, you know, communicate with you guys. So we want to do that. Also, there's a great Facebook group called Wrestling to the Max on Facebook. Go, you know, add yourself to that too. Plus, trust me, lots of Raw discussions, SmackDown Live discussions all the time. Lots of great stuff over there as well. So we just want to get you into the guise of this show and everything that we do, okay? That's why we go ahead and plug all this stuff ahead of time. I'm your host, Gary Vaughn. Of course, with me is our co-host, Mr. Paul Leeser.
Hey, yo.
And boy, Paul, we got a Strowman of his show tonight.
I think that's putting it lightly.
Oh man, it's pretty interesting. You know, we just got through talking about Braun Strowman not long ago on a regular episode of Wrestling to the Max, and of course sometimes on this Raw review, and talking about, man, you know, we were getting concerned about the direction of Braun Strowman. I'm not concerned anymore.
Yeah, they certainly tried to reassure you tonight, and they waste little time as they recap Braun's attack on Roman last week, where he pretty much went for attempted murder, and then he comes out and says he's proud of what he did, and he knows that Roman will not be here tonight, even though if you've paid attention to the internet, we've seen Roman show up on house shows. So, Roman's alive, he's just not alive in story right now, so...
Yeah.
Braun is intent on proving he's the monster among men. He wants competition once again, seeing as he killed Roman. And Angle says, you know what, you've proven yourself enough already. And Braun's like, I haven't made my point yet. So Angle makes Braun and Reigns at Payback. And then Braun wants a fight tonight. And Angle sort of says, fine, I'll find you something. And he eventually does, even though... for a while, Braun just seems intent on murdering people. So he kills Truth and Goldust when they're getting ready to come out for a match. And then he kills Kalisto later and tosses him into the garbage. And after that one, Big Show comes in and sort of shoves him into the metal delivery door thing that they like to use so much. And they end up having a match. They go at it hot and heavy for a long time. Pretty good, if you ask me, for what we get here. And of course, they decided to go full ham with this and do the superplex spot where the whole ring falls apart and poor referee bounces straight out of the ring and admittedly probably took the worst bump out of anybody out there. And this is declared a no contest, but Braun sure looks strong as all get out, Gary.
Yeah, you're not wrong on that. Definitely a situation that, you know, we were kind of talking about, like I said, and they completely hit the gas pedal. I mean, this is kind of a something I really didn't see coming this strong, right? I kind of thought, okay, they're going to build him up again. It's going to take some time, but they're going to get him back to where we need to know that this guy is strong, he's imposing. And it's like, oh, hey, by the way, you know, we were going 10 miles an hour, but we're going 90 now. And I'm glad. I really am very, very happy about this. You know, people always probably think that I'm the biggest Braun Strowman fan in the world. It's not that. But I think the guy has so much potential, and I'm excited about him and to see where he can go. So this makes me extremely thrilled. I think that they built this guy up in one night, and then... at the same point, not really just one night, right, Paul? Because we saw how powerful he was last week destroying Roman Reigns, right? Mm-hmm. So it's almost like they started something and it never stopped. It's almost like, you know, where we left off on Raw last week, we just started over, basically started 30 seconds later in a way.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the one thing I'll say too, is, you know, you talked about just a minute ago, you know, Roman Reigns is really fine. And you, everyone out there, you can tell your kids he's okay. It's not a big deal. He didn't die. He's on, like Paul just told you, he's on live event. So if you want to go see him, go to a live event.
Right.
But basically, my point being on this whole thing is he technically, in a way, took out one of the biggest stars for WWE, especially for the Raw brand. And then he's on his way through this show, completely taking out people that really, their people aren't going to miss. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that they add here that I think was so special was the match with Big Show. And why is that so important? It's important because we've seen so many times in WWE history on Monday Night Raws where the big tough guy, including Big Show himself, goes around smashing the underlings, and that's how they leave it the entire show. They don't do anything else. They just, oh, here we go. We can just basically get through this in 10 seconds. They added on the match with Big Show. Big Show kind of punks out Braun Strowman. And they actually give you a pretty decent match here. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't a five-star match, of course, but it was a lot of fun. And the ending where the ring collapses, it was a perfect exclamation mark to the whole night. I know, Paul, I'm going on and on, but I'm kind of gushing a little bit because I think they did something really right here, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I think that is what makes Braun so interesting. And although they have 80% of the time booked him the right way. And it's really hard to think of a last time, maybe since The Shield, that they've really done an act right. And that's, like, this whole evening, Braun looks incredible. He's obviously beating up geeks. He damn near murders the Big Show to end the show. I mean, he's the one that stands up first out of everybody in the ring to really make sure that they hammer the point home. So I'm a big fan of this. If Braun losing to Roman Reigns seems totally wrong at Payback. Like, they have something, I think, really hot here that they could ride for a while. And it doesn't have to be towards Brock Lesnar or anything like that, even though that would be a very interesting matchup, I think, at this point. But they're looking down the ladder at maybe the Intercontinental title or something like that. Like, he needs and deserves, I think, something to really show that, hey, man, like, you know, you can't really be at the top yet because we have other plans there, but you can certainly hold the Intercontinental title or you can hold whatever else and just let him wow us with different feuds here and there across the board, you know?
And that's, you bring up a good point, but it really makes me wonder how they're going to accomplish this, right? Mm-hmm. Because you are definitely going to have Roman Reigns face off against Braun Strowman at Payback, which if they go the way you want it to go and the way I want it to go, to be honest with you, with Braun Strowman still coming out looking strong, I want Roman Reigns to look good. I don't want him to be squashed. People probably think we're just, you know, like, again, you know, Strowman fans. But it's the point of the matter of the fact that they are going to make Roman Reigns look good. Not, they have to, but Strowman winning really, to me, doesn't hurt Roman Reigns that much. But they've got to get these guys on different paths. And I don't really know how they're going to do that because it's going to be hard to put Roman Reigns in that title hunt against Brock Lesnar without going through the guy who's been dominating him, which is Braun Strowman, right?
Right.
So they've got to find that, but at the same time, not hurt Strowman. And I think nights like this are kind of maybe, how should I say it, our way maybe to let us down softly. And that's what worries me the most, because I think when we're getting so much domination on one side, you kind of feel like they're just setting you up to let you down.
Mm-hmm. So whatever we do get between Braun and Roman Reigns, it's not going to be straight up one-on-one. The build right now suggests differently. And I, as much as I want Strowman to win, you can't have the guy who just retired The Undertaker lose at the very next pay-per-view. Like, that makes no sense. No sense at all. So if they do an ambulance match, or if they do a last man standing match, or if they do something to the point where Roman Reigns has to almost go to that point that Braun has to beat him, I think you'll come out with this with Braun still looking just as tough as he is. Just on that night, Roman Reigns just happened to be Superman enough to beat him, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I think you're right on that, because, like as I said, you have to have him out of the way to move Roman Reigns on to Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really didn't think about that. I mean, the fact that Roman Reigns beat Undertaker, that's a big deal, and it's easy to kind of put that in the rearview mirror, right? It's just easy to say, okay, we're done with that, let's go to the next thing. But, I mean, you're completely right. I have to agree. And a no DQ match is going to have to be what it is. Otherwise, you're going to have multi-men involved in this. Like, you'd have to throw a Big Show mm-hmm. in there, right? Somebody else to kind of mix things up where Roman Reigns can win. Even if Roman Reigns doesn't pin Braun Strowman, at least Roman Reigns would win.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm really curious about this. I have to gush, though, over the fact that, out of all the stuff they did the entire night, I know we've seen the ring collapse before, but I think it was great. I think it added something to the show. I think it gives people also a reason to want to tune in for that third hour. You know, we hear so many times the third hour failed, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. See, stuff like this, to me, I know they've done it before, but, you know, when you get the tweets, when you get people putting this on social media, Facebook, whatever, that makes people want to tune in. I guarantee you, when I go to work tomorrow and I show some of my coworkers this video, they don't watch wrestling. Monday nights, they're doing whatever they do, right? But
right.
They are going to be like, oh, man, well, maybe I should start watching wrestling again like I did in, you know, whenever. And it's because of things like this that are exciting, are impactful. So I got to commend them. So many times I'm hard on WWE for doing certain things, especially their main events. I'm going to gush when they do something right, and I'm doing that now.
Absolutely. You know, Big Show's been involved in every time the ring is broken pretty much since 2000. And it's almost his way of putting a guy over these days. You know, look what it did for Mark Henry and Brock Lesnar and, you know, sort of escalating them towards that next level or pointing them, you know, and the rocket upwards that they have them strapped to. And I on this night, they did a hell of a job with Braun, and that certainly is worth commending, because it's not every day that they do right by this guy. And even though most of the time they do, the nights where they don't is really jarring. And this one might stand out as the extreme opposite of it was almost perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So let's go ahead and move on to this other thing that I understand why they did this, but I don't think it was a great idea. Chris Jericho takes on Samoa Joe. You have Seth Rollins out on commentary. Joe ends up locking in the Kikina clutch and then the body scissors to make Jericho tap after about 9 minutes. There's nothing wrong with the match, right? It's just fine. And if both guys weren't involved in some pretty hot feuds right now, maybe this is a lot more commendable, because Jericho obviously is going to be on his way out here soon and putting over Joe and all that good stuff like he usually does before he comes back in however long. But at least you're putting over the guy who's going to be here, even though Jericho has that U.S. title match at Payback still. And then afterwards, Joe cuts an awesome promo talking about how sweet the sound of Rollins' knee shredding whenever he debuted was, and how it was simply business. And at Payback, it's going to be personal, and he's getting revenge, and he's fighting for Triple H, and especially Stephanie, who Rollins murdered, death, killed through a table. And Joe is pissed off. He looks angry. This is the kind of Joe I love. And, with them still trying to sort of set the table for post-Payback, because that's when you're really going to start seeing all this stuff and the new shapes of cards on both shows really start showing themselves for what they're going to be, Samoa Joe is being primed to take over at least Kevin Owens' spot that he used to have over here on Raw.
And, you know, I think it's going to be great, especially from what we got tonight. I mean, I really do. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are casual fans and who are still in their infancy of knowing who Samoa Joe is. But trust me, you know, if he's the guy that's taken over that spot that Kevin Owens kind of left behind on Raw, they're going to be just fine. This mm-hmm. guy, very brutal in the ring. As brutal as they need him to be, he can be. As technical as they need him to be, he can do that too. He's a very well-rounded guy. I just like him so much. But, you know, I mean, I think tonight is just a good example of the fact that, like Paul just alluded to, they're trying to clean up some of the stuff post WrestleMania, and so they can get on past this whole mix up of the rosters and all that, and just get on to the future. I think this is a good thing, though, having, you know, this match tonight, for the fact that Chris Jericho is going to be moving on. He's going to be taking some time off from wrestling, and, you know, you've got to have feuds like this, you know, kind of being cleaned up, because, you know, guess what? You know, he was mixed up with, you know, Samoa Joe and all that recently. And not only that, it's something that I think, you know, for the show, you know, of course, you know, Monday Night Raw needs to have some good matches. They knew these two guys could go out there and do it. And may not have been the longest match. I mean, 9 minutes is pretty good, though. Mm-hmm. I think they put on a pretty darn good show here. I think Joe looked great, and that's the positive thing for me, because Jericho does a wonderful job of putting guys over. But really, I mean, a guy at the talent level that Samoa Joe is, he doesn't have to work too hard to do that. So right. I was very, very happy with what I got tonight. I really don't have any problem with it. Chris Jericho got a chance to cut a funny promo. He got a chance to get in the ring. I'm happy with this. This is something that I didn't have any issues with. You got Samoa Joe on the mic as well. So they got a lot involved with these two guys, and that's great because it was kind of needed.
I think Joe needed this very badly. And that's where I understand this, because Joe had sort of fallen by the wayside a little bit in the run-up to WrestleMania, and even after the last pay-per-view that they did before that, which is escaping me at the moment. But I think going into this pay-per-view and this show and everything like that, like they're trying to get Joe's momentum back, and I don't know exactly what they're going to do, because obviously you need Seth to still look strong in all this too, especially coming off hot of beating Triple H and everything like that. But I mean, Joe really needs a big time win, I think, to really at least, if not get people interested in him, to at least keep the momentum going upwards and not suddenly having to go back downwards and start back from where you were before WrestleMania.
Exactly. And here's the thing, you know, as we build up towards Payback, I expect Joe to win quite a few matches. Maybe they'll have him lose some kind of match because of Seth Rollins or something like that. But he's got to look good. And I really am agreeing with you on the fact that I feel like, you know, he has to win, because so far he's been kind of up and down, right? He's not exactly always come out smelling like roses and everything he's done. And for this guy to get to the level I think they want him to get, he's going to have some wins, some big wins, not just Monday Night Raw wins. He's going to have some pay-per-view wins and have some significant time in front of the fans for them to really grasp onto him and really get behind what he's bringing, whether it be the fact that they just love his brutality or they hate him because he's so good, but, you know, he's a jerk. So they've got to get that, and they've got to make sure they find a way. Seth Rollins is Seth Rollins. People know who he's established. We don't have to worry about Seth Rollins so much. In fact, I would actually like to see him tap out to Joe and then come back and continue this feud on, and then he'll get his victory. I don't think this is the situation you want to get yourself in, where you have Seth Rollins just come in, beat him at the pay-per-view, and then move on. I think, you know, they did good tonight. They need to keep this momentum going for Samoa Joe.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that the whole way. So let's go ahead and talk about this Miz TV segment with Dean Ambrose and, of course, the Miz. Miz comes out and is immediately interrupted by Dean, pretty much. And Dean sort of wants to set everything aside. They're on a new show. Let's try to stay out of each other's way. And Miz ain't having any of that. He says Ambrose is a disgrace. He makes the championship look bad. He's not a brand. You look like a street rat. Pretty much just attacking him on every level possible. And Dean finally has enough and starts a brawl with him. And Miz has to run off and all that good stuff. And I think I want, like, we've seen a lot of this on SmackDown, right? And it's not like the matches have been great or anything. Or even the feud wasn't even that super hot. But if it's a way to move the championship back to Miz, who deserves a spotlight like this, and I think can really work with pretty much anybody and help get over some of the other guys, if that's what they're going to try to do here, or if Dean is going to be moving on to the bright lights of the main event scene again, or however this is going to turn out, I thought this was okay.
Yeah, this is fine. Here's the thing. Dean Ambrose, coming off SmackDown Live, you would think, okay, Raw, brand new place. It's exciting again, right? I don't know. I don't know that Dean Ambrose is really super exciting right now, even changing brands. And I think the guy is, you know, great for what he does. I do like it. I think he's funny. But it's that whole factor of right now this isn't gelling the way I wanted to. And not only that, we had The Miz and we had Dean Ambrose on the same show already, right? And they've already had some problems before. So this is nothing brand new, and this is nothing that's going to just dar you out of your seat because you're just like, wow, I can't believe that happened, or I can't believe he said that. So this is very just okay. I think you're right on that terminology, Paul, because it's just nothing super spectacular. You know, the craziest that we see Dean Ambrose get is just that he leaps and attacks somebody at this point. And really, they've been doing that for long, long periods of time on SmackDown. So it's not been something new and added anything to Dean Ambrose. I've heard plenty of people say Dean Ambrose needs a retool. He needs to get in there, really work on either getting even crazier or find something new to add to his, you know, catalog of what Dean Ambrose is. Because otherwise, we just kind of have that same guy, and it just kind of gets a little stale sometimes. And I think Miz gets away with the same gimmick and the same way about himself is because he's such a talent on the mic. It's almost like he rebuilds himself every time he gets on there. It's weird to say that, right? But I just think that the way Miz is, he's a man of 1,000 words, whereas, you know, Ambrose is a man of 100. And there's only so much you can do. So I don't know. I didn't hate this, but I was just not overly excited about it.
I would be okay with Ambrose turning heel if that's the only thing they can come up with, because there's only so much you can do with Dean Ambrose as a babyface right now. Because of, you know, TVPG, like, you can't go over the top with your good guys. They still have to walk that morality line somewhat here and there, and I don't think they could let him go much more over the top without either damaging the character or breaking the TVPG rules. So I think a heel turn would work too for him, because obviously with the heels, and I think that's what makes The Miz so interesting every time, is that you're a lot less restricted. You're allowed to go those extra distances to really make people hate you and all that good stuff. So The Miz can overstep the line every once in a while and be okay, right? Because that's what heels do. They step over the line and do bad stuff and whatever. But
I have a quick question. Okay, so I actually have a couple of things. Okay, so really quickly, you're right on the blood and the guts and all that, because if they could let Dean Ambrose do all that stuff that he used to do, or even do a percentage of it, I think immediately people love him because he is hardcore. It kind of goes back to the ECW days, right? I mean, this guy, if they would have kept ECW around, he'd be the biggest star on the show. I mean, he'd be the biggest part of their show, I think, because he is so violent. He has all that about him. He just can't go that extra mile. So I agree. That does hinder him. The one thing that I was kind of thinking about here, would this be an interesting thing for Dean Ambrose, maybe even if they don't want to turn him heel, or maybe they do want to turn him heel, to pair him up with somebody, and not so much just to be a tag team, but just to have somebody there like The Miz that convinces him that, you know, hey, we're on the same page. We keep going against each other, but really we're on the same page. And just, you know, maybe in a way, lead Dean Ambrose down a road of being their, like, I don't want to say a dog, but their attack dog, maybe. You know, I don't know. I would love to see him do something different. And that could be something different, you know?
Mm-hmm. I actually would be interested to see him pair up with somebody and run a tag team, because, one, Raw needs tag teams, and two, we've seen more often than not that Dean Ambrose works a lot better when he has somebody to work off of. It's one of the reasons why Ellsworth got over so easily, was because him and Dean had this easy back and forth and give and take, to where what they were doing with each other was interesting. And obviously, you know, Ellsworth just getting over on, you know, babyface jobberific performance and appearance and all that too, and whatever other magic that went into to that performance helped a lot too. But I feel like there was a lot better interactions between the two. And I, you know, looking at this now with all three of the Shield mates back on Raw, and with Braun looking like he does, a Shield reunion to put Braun in his place or something like that seems likely down the road. I don't know, like a couple months, whatever. And then maybe after that you have Dean turn, and him and Braun could run the show for a while or something like that, if they so choose to do that. But they need to find something else for him after this IC title program, because I'm leaning more towards him giving the title back to Miz at this point, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of feel like he needs to give it back to Miz, let Miz do his thing, and let Ambrose do whatever else that can make him successful, whether we retool or join up with somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go ahead and talk about the Cruiserweights real quick, too, because they only have the one segment. TJ Perkins takes on Jack Gallagher in about a 10-minute match. This is really good, too. Not as good as their last effort over on 205 Live last week, but still right up there with it. And TJP gets another win here. You have Neville and Aries come out, too, and get into a big fight, because obviously they have the title match at Payback, and everybody's looking forward to that again. And it's not the most interesting thing to happen on this show, but it does keep all of that moving forward, and we're going to have TJP take on Austin Aries on 205 Live tomorrow, so that should be awesome, too. But, you know, there's some stuff percolating here for the Cruiserweights.
Yeah, I think so, and they kind of compacted it right here, right? And they gave you more than one storyline involved in this, and that's good. I mean, I think sometimes you need to do that. The match itself was fine. I did enjoy myself watching it, and of course, you know, it's hard not to love what the Cruiserweights are doing, especially when you got a guy like Jack Gallagher in the ring and making the crowd pop, right? Because all the comedy and all the different things he adds in. So I think that was good. And then, of course, you know, having the outside stuff with Neville and, you know, Austin Aries, I think it worked. You know, well, like you said, it was not exactly, you know, the pinnacle of the show or anything that just kind of made you go, wow. Mm-hmm. But I think it was good. I think it, once again, gives you a reason to watch 205 Live, you know. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I am too. And I really hope that Aries and Neville can get in front of a crowd, unlike what they got at WrestleMania, that's really going to get into their match. Because that match they put on there was great, and it's just a shame that nobody in the crowd really seemed to make a whole ton of noise for it. So hopefully we can get some love for the Cruiserweights here sooner or later.
Exactly.
Let's go ahead and talk about the tag team stuff, because they get a whole bunch of the show, too. First up, Gallus and Anderson take on Enzo and Cass, as it looks like they're trying to scramble to rebuild somebody in the wake of the Revival taking an injury. Dash Wilder broke his jaw at the NXT shows this last weekend, so he might be out till July, which is that's brutal. We've seen this match a whole lot. It is what it is at this point. Gallus and Anderson end up getting the win. It's a little messy here for my taste, but it looks like Gallus and Anderson are being the next heel team groomed up to face off against the Hardys in the near future.
Yeah, you know what? And I think it's going to be fine if that's the way it's going to have to take place. It so sucks about the Revival because, man, they just got started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's that whole thing of, hey, come off NXT and then get injured. But it just sucks. I will say, though, that, you know, as lazadaisically or whatever you want to say it, how they handle Gallus and Anderson, I think that they can show and prove that they have it if they'll just allow them to do that. And I did it fine tonight. Like you said, it was messy. I really kind of felt myself not really caring at times because we've seen this so much. You know, it's such a small revolving door with these tag teams that you just, man, I've seen this like five times. I don't need to see this anymore. I do like Gallus and Anderson winning here, though, because like you said, establishes them as a dastardly heel team. It makes it feel good. And then when they do eventually get to the Hardys, I think that'll really kind of, you know, help them. Because at this point, if they keep them on the road that they're going down, no one's even going to even think about Gallows and Anderson. They're just going to go, Hardys are going to win. I can't wait. I just want to see the Hardys. Mm-hmm. If you can Gallows and Anderson on the right road, you can establish them even more, make them look really, you know, evil, make them just this dastardly team that is doing anything possible to win. Then people will enjoy the matchup and not just seeing the Hardys. And so, I don't know. I think this is a good thing. It's a step in the right direction. It's not great, but at least it's in the right direction.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely in the phase of, well, we got to try to make lemonade out of lemons right now, because the Revival looked like they were being groomed to challenge the Hardys. And, you know, for all we know, this could end up being the best thing, because maybe all the lawsuits and litigation with Impact and the Hardys get sorted out, and we can get the Broken Boys back over here, and they'll be, like, maybe ramping up to do that, and suddenly the Revival come up, and we can have some fun with the Broken Hardys and the old-school-minded Revival. But on the flip side of this coin, too, we have the Hardys get a promo, and they sort of put over how great all the new teams and new talent of the current crop of WWE stars is, and they're just happy to be here and continue to show that they still matter. And then Cesaro and Sheamus show up and put the Hardys over, and it looks like we're trying to work a respect angle here, which is fine. Cesaro calls the singles match between him and Jeff Hardy coming up a dream, and it certainly is a dream. Like, they go 13 minutes here. I think they work really well with each other. Jeff does everything he can and ends up getting the victory here with the twist of fate and the Swanton, and we get the handshake afterwards. But I enjoyed all this. This would have been just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, this was fun. I mean, I can't say, you know, it was anything spectacular, but it was a lot of fun. And I think that, you know, people probably really thought to themselves, oh, we're not going to see that happen, you know, ever. And then the next thing you know, it's happening right in front of our face. A guy like Cesaro facing off with Jeff Hardy. It's just, I guess a dream come true could be the case if you're a huge Cesaro fan, or maybe you're just a Jeff Hardy fan in general. So mm-hmm. I think this was good. I mean, outside of that, I mean, you know, it really doesn't help anything for the tag teams, but at least it was a good match itself. And, you know, if you're going to keep Sheamus and Cesaro in the babyface category, then you're going to have to play a little of that respect factor, especially if you're going to put them against each other. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, really, that's all I can say about it. The one thing I do want to add, though, is when the Hardys actually had their promo and they had the interview backstage, what I loved about it is you still got that taste of Broken Matt. It wasn't a lot, but he did have a few things, and there were still kind of that taste. I don't know if you noticed it, but I did.
His mannerisms, whether he's in the ring or this week at ringside, there's still a lot of the Broken gimmick in here. It's just they can't overboard it, you know, and be like, oh, here it all is in full. But, I mean, Matt certainly knows that a lot of these fans are going to know about the Broken gimmick, and that's what they want to see, and he's giving it to him as best as he can right now. So, I mean, the hope is there. I think WWE wants to do it too. They just, you know, whenever Impact decides that they have no case here, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, you wonder about that whole process of, you know, even when it does go down where WWE's lawyers pretty much, you know, make the Impact Zone decide to leave him alone. How much, you know, we have Vince behind this whole train as well, because it concerns me that Vince is going to say, well, you guys did this, this, and this. I want you to change that. And instead of saying delete, say shattered or something, you know, and then people will be like, what the heck? So that's the only thing that concerns me. But yes, I'm praying that we do get that whole gimmick back and, you know, get the Broken Hardys back in gear.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Raw has to remind you, of course, that there are matches taking place between guys that aren't on the show because they have to clean up. So I forgot to mention Jericho getting a promo about Kevin Owens later, and the Drifter randomly walks in and sort of strums, and the Drifter gets put on the list, and that's kind of fun. Drifter wanders around in another segment too, and I'd be kind of okay with him just randomly showing up. I mean, He's not anything special in the ring, but if this is a way that you can get the gimmick over to at least be, you know, funny or something like that, I'm totally down for that. And then Bray gets to cut a promo about Randy Orton in the House of Horrors match, which sounds like they still don't know what the heck it's going to be, although he does use a lot of fire analogies, so maybe there'll be some fire in there? I don't know. And then Finn Balor squashes Curt Hawkins, so at least he passed the impact test, and the concussion, it doesn't seem to have been all that serious.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was so thrilled to see that he was on the show tonight, and kudos to him getting back quick. And so Finn Balor winning is always a good thing. And then, of course, the Wyatt promo video, whatever, it was fine. I don't know that it really gives me anything to be like, oh, this is different. But, you know, we'll see. Hopefully they get better. But really quickly, I kind of touched on the Jericho promo. It was funny. I thought it was kind of a neat thing that they did have the Drifter kind of walk in here. I'm not a big Drifter fan. We hear us, you know, complain about him all the time in NXT. He's just not that entertaining. I think, though, on Raw, he could be entertaining because of these kind of instances, right? And he'll be working with talent that knows how to handle these type of situations and how to kind of make him get over in a way. You know, guys like Chris Jericho, they're perfect to do this, right? They can get you over just by saying a few things about you, and the next thing you know, you got 100,000 people tweeting about you. And so I think the same with the Drifter here. And, you know, if he's just comedy fodder, I'm okay with it. Hey, it adds something to the show.
Right. And I think I speak for a lot of people when we're all looking forward to the day when the Drifter happens to drift by Braun Strowman and then eats a guitar.
Shove it down his throat.
What a day that'll be. What a day.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the last thing we really have to talk about here is the ladies. We have a number one contenders match between Alexa Bliss, Mickie James, Nia Jax, and Sasha Banks. They get a whole ton of time here, 15 minutes. This is really, really good. It gets a little, you know, it obviously follows the standard four-way formula, but it's really good, and I think everybody plays their parts perfectly in this, and Alexa Bliss gets the victory. I mean, obviously, she's the strongest heel coming over right now outside of Nia, and it looks like they're going to want to tease out this Banks thing some more. So I'm looking forward to the match. We haven't gotten to see Alexa since she's hit the main roster, take on Bayley and all that good stuff. I mean, the last time we got to see him wrestle, Alexa was still trying to find her way around the ring, and I guess depending on who you talk to, she might still be. But and then Alicia Fox also gets put in between Dana Brooke and Emma's tiff, as Emma sort of says that Dana laughed at her whenever her gift exploded on her last week on 205 Live. So, evil Emma being evil and Alexa Bliss being the number one contender.
And, you know, evil kind of won out in the women's division tonight, right?
That's
and,
true.
You know, here's the thing I want to say quickly because I can get this out done quicker. I did it kind of enjoy. It's kind of weird to say the Emma segment with Dana Brooke and Alicia Fox. I think that it worked out the way they needed it to, for the fact that Alicia's nuts and she moves on. She mentions 205 Live. That helps them. Then you kind of get this feud moving forward between Dana and Emma. So I think that's all positive. I don't think it was stupid, because there's a lot of times when they do these type of backstage things, they're just, it's ignorant. And you're just like, man, I wasted some time here. I don't think right. So. I kind of like this. I think it actually kind of worked. And then the match itself, let's move on to this fatal four-way where I think that, like you said, Paul, I'm glad you mentioned, everybody got a chance to look good. They got their stuff in. And it wasn't forced, right? It wasn't where, like, okay, I got mine, you get yours, all this kind of. No, everybody got an opportunity to kind of have a little run here and there. You know, of course, there was different mixes of people working together involved in this match. So I think overall, it was a great product from that division. And, you know, I think once again, you have Nia Jax looking strong, like she's just going to go in there and kill everybody. It's just happenstance that she's able, you know, to fall out of the ring where she can't get back in and win the match, right? And I think it's weird to say this, but I think the one that didn't seem the most impressive was probably Sasha. I think she got, out of all of them, I think she kind of got left in the background But that's okay. I think she's talented enough where she's going to rebound from that later on. Mm-hmm. But I think they're doing that on purpose, too, because a lot of people are just waiting for that Sasha and Bayley feud, right? So you want to keep her in the background, because if you have her look too positive, they'll start saying, oh, you need a triple threat, you need a, you know, all that. So this is very positive, and it keeps her in the background. I think Alexa Bliss winning is the smartest thing that they did. And I know, you know, I'm a big fan from SmackDown and all that, but I think it's a good situation because it's a former women's champion, right? Mm-hmm. It's someone who is probably the best heel outside of Charlotte, right? I think Charlotte probably right now, when it comes to the most well-rounded, has everybody beat. Now, Alexa's right there. Maybe not as much polished in the ring. Maybe not has everything. But on the mic, everything else, I think, completely fine. And ace at what she does. And so I think it's going to be so much fun to watch this feud between her and Bayley, because she's going to be so mean to Bayley.
Right.
It's going to be, I mean, I cannot wait for that conversation. You thought Charlotte was mean. I don't think that Charlotte was mean where you're going to see probably with this whole Wicked Witch thing that Alexa Bliss brings out. So I think it's going to be fun. I'm very happy. I think they gave us a great match. Everything involved was a positive on my end. So, hey, this is a very good situation for that division.
I think what I like most about this is that you don't have to worry about Charlotte being the one who sort of pulls these two apart, right? You have a different voice now in Alexa. It's a great opportunity for her to sort of help solidify her role as being one of the top stars in either women's division. And so I am looking forward to that as well. And I'm just, you know, how long are they going to tease out this Sasha thing? I think that's the big question looming over this, because, I mean, you're right, Sasha didn't get a whole lot in this match, and she didn't really need it, obviously. You know, she's one of the most established women in the division right now. But looking at all of this, whenever this comes to blows, do you think they're waiting for SummerSlam? Do you think they're waiting that long? Do you think it's a shorter run thing? Like, what's your thoughts on this? Because the division's a little bit open now that Charlotte's not around, and we're not all waiting with bated breath to wait for the title to fall back around her waist.
Yeah, because, I mean, if she would have stayed on this show, I mean, she probably would have been 18-time champion by the time SummerSlam ran around.
Right.
So
no, you're very right.
Yeah, it's just the way it would work. But no, seriously, I think, from my point of view, I think this is a long-term goal for them. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is because they've got a lot of people in this division with these different matchups and stuff, especially with adding two new stars that have the ability to have big matches. Because I really feel like Alexa Bliss and Mickie James have that opportunity. They can give you great matches and main events at these pay-per-views, you know? So that's really not a problem. But the issue is, though, is when you got Sasha and Bayley, this friendship, for it to change and for you to do something to do it right, it's got to have that slow burn. For me personally, you've got to have a little this here and then a little that there and continue it until you get to a huge show to where it's a big deal. Like, this is, you know, something that is just amazing and you don't want to miss it. I think that's what they should do, and I think it's probably what they're going to want to do. I could be completely wrong. They could do it completely different and just do a short-term feud. But I think for you to do it right, you've got to put it off. And you've got to put it on one of your bigger shows. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion about it.
I could see them wanting to sort of return to the scene of the crime, as it were, and have them go at it one-on-one for the women's title at SummerSlam back in Brooklyn after they had that phenomenal match there at NXT a couple years ago. So I that's just where I see it happening, too. But, I mean, you're completely right. This needs to be teased out. Of course, they have to also keep in mind that Nia is waiting in the wings and sort of just waiting for the shoe to fall so she can start running over everybody. And, yeah, so, I mean, we got good stuff building here on the women's division. That's pretty much it for this show. Apollo Crews also has a run-in with Titus, who wants him to join the Titus brand. And let me tell you, for a guy who really needs a direction, putting him with Titus O'Neil is not anything helpful for Apollo there.
Yeah, I'm hoping this kind of goes more towards that whole situation that we've seen Titus in before, where He wants to join up with somebody, and then they reject him. Then he gets mad and fights him. Right?
Yeah.
We seen all with I know we saw with New Day. There's another team I think he did it with too. I don't know if it was the Usos or somebody else, but yeah, I feel bad for Titus O'Neil because of that. But yeah, you're right. Apollo Crews, come on, man, you've got to have something better. Hopefully, you know, this feud between if it is going to be a feud between you and Titus O'Neil works out good for you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I mean, they've got to do something else to really hotshot this guy into people's eyes and get them in, get Apollo Crews in their hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah,
yeah. Let's slap a number on this bad boy, Gary. What do you got?
You know, it's kind of funny because this entire time we've been talking, I've been seeing a lot more positive things than I've been negative. And I think it's because on this episode of Raw, they did some things that were really intelligent. I think they were getting us some people over that needed to be over and gave us an opportunity to walk away saying, you know, everything's not bad. Everything's could be okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for the most part, I mean, a lot of times I give a show like this maybe a 7. I'm gonna go an 8. I really enjoyed it for the most part. I think they made me care all the way up until the main event, and I loved the main event because of what happened at the very end. So I'm going an 8. Maybe it's strong, but I like 8.
I'm in the same neighborhood as you two, not just because they did such an excellent job with Braun this week, which no doubt they did. There's a lot of good wrestling on the show too. The women's match, Jeff Hardy and Cesaro, the main event. Like, there's good wrestling to be had throughout the entire show. And that really helps the 3 hours fly by, too. So I'm going 7.5. We'll have to see how they rebound next week. Unless Braun's going to keep running over people all the way up until Payback just to look super strong, you have to think Reigns is coming back next week or something like that. So I think we should all be prepared, batten down the hatches. But yeah, 7.5 is what I'm giving this week's Raw.
Well, fair enough. Well, that is our Monday Night Raw review for Wrestling to the Max. We hope everybody's enjoyed it. Of course, we will be back next Monday night to review that Raw, and hopefully it's as good as this one. We have our concerns now that this one was so good. Right. Usually this thing's a roller coaster. But anyway, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. Don't forget, please go rate and review on iTunes. It just gives us an opportunity to share the show with a lot more people. And, you know, of course, we like to, you know, please you. So whatever you have to say, whatever comments you want to throw on there, do that. And of course, we'd love to get your star rating. Also, don't forget W2Mnet.com. Don't forget to go subscribe to Wrestling to the Max. And of course, don't forget to join us for episode 143 of Wrestling to the Max this week. Trust me, we've got some great things in content and stuff for you. Hopefully, we'll be doing it in two parts this week because we've done some super shows the last 2 weeks. So we'll be looking to do two different parts. And, please go check out both those, plus all the other great review shows we do. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you down the road.
Have a good one, guys.